This morning I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6. This morning we'll be looking at the first few verses, verses 10, 11, and 12. But I'll be reading the entire next section on the whole armor of God to give us some context. So Ephesians 6, we'll begin reading with verse 10. But before we turn our attention to God's word, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, we ask that you'll give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, that we may know the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints and your incomparably great power for us who believe. The powers like the working of your mighty strength, which you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Let's pay careful attention, because this is God's word. Finally, be strong in the Lord, and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, what comes to mind when you hear the phrase spiritual warfare? What do you think of? Is spiritual warfare something that you are involved with? Do you ever engage in spiritual warfare? Have you ever been in a spiritual battle? Now, your initial response might be, I don't think so. I don't think I've ever done anything like this. I know someone who has, or I've heard about it. Whenever we mention spiritual warfare, our tendency is to think about the extraordinary examples. Being possessed by demons, or Jesus and the disciples casting out evil spirits. In our minds, that is spiritual warfare. That's a spiritual battle. But what about the ordinary, everyday spiritual warfare? The day-to-day spiritual battles that we are fighting, the hand-to-hand spiritual hand-to-hand combat, there we go, of loving your spouse. Or the spiritual fight that rages within you to control your anger. Or the spiritual struggle of obeying and honoring your parents or those in authority over you. What I'm hoping that you'll see this morning is that spiritual combat isn't just about what you hear in the Bible or hear about secondhand, but rather it's your day in and day out struggle and fight and war against sin and temptation. It's a battlefront that we are on every day, fighting against the sin in our lives and striving to live for Christ. This is war, a spiritual war. This is a battle that we are fighting. But the good news is that God has equipped us for this fight. God is the one who is giving us the power we need, His power, as we fight this battle. Paul talks about spiritual armor, and as he does so, he is pulling from everything that he has covered in this entire letter. Throughout Ephesians, he's been explaining what this armor is, and now he's telling us to put it on. We've been building this armor, learning about this armor throughout this entire letter, and now Paul is at the point of saying, yeah, now put that on. Wear that as you engage in this battle, as you stand firm against the attacks of Satan. First word in our passage, verse 10, finally, Paul is concluding everything that he's been saying, not only in this last half of Ephesians, where he's been applying the gospel, this is how you live as a Christian, but the entire book, the entire letter, it's a conclusion, as he's telling us to put on the various pieces of armor that we've learned about throughout this letter. And this morning, as we look at the first few verses, what's being communicated as the theme is that we find our strength and armor in the Lord. It's His strength, it's His armor, and we need that so that we can take our stand against the enemy. As we explore that theme, we'll be looking at, first of all, what? Be strong in the Lord. Secondly, how? Put on the whole armor of God. And then why? To stand against the schemes of the devil. And so first, what? What is the command here? What are we being commanded? Well, the command is be strong in the Lord. Verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Now, what does it mean to be strong in the Lord? How do you do this? How do you be strong in the Lord? Can you do this? At the beginning of this letter, Paul told us as believers that we are enriched with all of the spiritual blessings in the heavenly place, all the spiritual blessings of Christ, that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. And Paul prayed that we would know God. And because we know God intimately, we are able to know and experience His incredibly great power for us who believe, that power that He showed in raising Christ from the dead and ascending Him into heaven. And now Paul is commanding us as believers to be strengthened in the Lord so that we're able to stand against the spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms. And so the devil, his armies, these spiritual armies, they want to rob us of these spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ, these benefits that have been poured out onto us. And we need God's power, same power that raised Christ from the dead and ascended Him and seated Him on high. We need that power to be able to stand against this spiritual wickedness. That immeasurably great power for us who believe. The overwhelming divine strength that's made available to the church that flows out from Christ and His supremacy and authority over all things, over these realms and authorities of darkness that can be named in this age and in the next. We are to be strong in the Lord and in His strength. Now, this idea of not only confronting and standing firm against these spiritual forces, but being strengthened by the Lord, His strength, this would be very powerful, a very powerful message, especially to those in Ephesus. The pagans of Paul's day, especially living in Ephesus, had a fascination with the occult. And they lived paralyzed by fear of spirits, and they would use amulets and powerful names or magic each day to try to deter these evil spirits. Now we might be tempted to think that, wow, you know, we're so far beyond that. We're modern, we're scientifically advanced, we don't live in fear of evil spirits. But the spirits of our day are just a little bit different. They're still attractive, deceptive, and they still destroy in the same way. In the struggles and fights of this life, the temptation is for us to look to our own strength and our own ability. I just have to try a little bit harder, we'll tell ourselves. And what we're hearing this morning is a really good reminder of where our true strength comes from. Not only a reminder, it's a command. Be strong in the Lord. Now what's interesting about this command is that it's passive, which means you can't really do this. Be strengthened, be strong, be enabled with the strength of the Lord. Be made strong. The power doesn't come from you, but rather from the Lord. And so the command is to be strong, but it's passive, to be strengthened, be enabled by the Lord. Paul is praying. Well, here's the command, but earlier in Ephesians 3, we had Paul's prayer for spiritual strength. If you have your Bibles open, turn back to Ephesians 3, and there you'll find verse 14, this prayer for spiritual strength. And what he's praying for is that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you strength with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So here is Paul's prayer that you as a believer would be strengthened. And now he's saying, be strengthened. You can think about this command in light of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength. He is our strength, our ever-present help in trouble. That's where our strength comes from. In this spiritual warfare, the spiritual reality, you find your strength not in your own ability, not in your own physical ability. I can resist this temptation on my own. Not in your own mental ability and power. I'll figure this one out. Or even in your own spiritual ability. I'll just pray more and read more. But rather, the strength for this fight, the strength for this battle is the Lord's strength. Be strengthened in the Lord, in His mighty power. And if you look at Lord there, it's referring to Jesus Christ. So the one who was raised from the dead and ascended on high and is now seated in power and authority over all these earthly spiritual realms and authorities that Paul is mentioning are attacking us, Christ is the one who is in authority and has power over them, and He is the one who is giving you as the believer, the power to stand firm against that. It's a power that comes from the Lord. And so you, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, are commanded to be strengthened in the Lord, in the might of the Lord's strength. In Ephesians 1, and I've mentioned this prayer already, but Paul is praying. He's mentioning this power that we are now being strengthened by, the Lord's power. He's praying that we would know God and to know the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe. So that's the power that Paul is saying you need to be empowered by. You need to be strengthened by this power that God has, the immeasurably great power toward you who believe. And what's an example of this power? According to the working of God's power, His mighty strength, which He worked in Christ when He did what? Raised Him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So there you have that power being shown in Christ's resurrection and Christ's ascension and Christ's reign, seating him above all authority, both now and always. Continue there. Ephesians 3, verse 21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Notice how that rule and authority, power and dominion are referenced here in our passage as Paul's describing who we're wrestling against. Not flesh and blood, but the authorities, the rulers, authorities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness, the ones who Christ has already been throned victoriously over. And so what we see happening is at the beginning of Ephesians 1, or Ephesians in general, Paul is piling up this description of God's power. The power is like the working of his mighty strength, the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. And here he's mentioning that power again. He's piling up words for God's power. But the difference here at the end of Ephesians is that while he was first explaining this incredibly great power, Christ's resurrection, ascension, and rule, now he's saying you need to be empowered by that power. You need to be strong by the strength, strengthened by the power of the Lord. This is what that power of the Lord means for you in your day-to-day spiritual battle. Be strengthened by the power of the Lord. I want you to know the incomparably great power that God has for us, you who believe, and I also want you to be strengthened and empowered by that power of the Lord. And the question for us at this point is, well, how? I mean, that sounds great, having that power helping us as we fight against the schemes of the devil. But how does this happen? How does this work? I know I need to be strong. I know I can't do this on my own, and I need to be strengthened with Christ's power. But how does this happen? What does it look like to be strong or to be strengthened in the Lord? Well, Paul answers that question by saying that you become strong in the Lord when you put on the full armor of God. So how do I be strong in the Lord? I'm strong in the Lord by putting on the whole armor of God. And that's our second point this morning. That's the how. Put on the whole armor of God. By putting on the whole armor of God, we will be strengthened in the Lord. The command is to put on the armor of God, God's armor. Just like in chapter 4, Paul mentioned putting on the new self. Here we're putting on this armor. It's the full armor of God. It's a reference to a suit of armor. You can think of a Roman soldier with all the various pieces of armor. Now, in Ephesus, which is kind of in the middle of the Roman Empire, they probably wouldn't have seen very many Roman soldiers, if any, who were in full uniform, full armor. Because the centurions, the legions, were always sent to the edges of the empire where there were problems. Places like Galilee or Judea. That's where the Roman legions were to put out all the problems that were going on. So that's possibly where Paul saw soldiers in full armor and uniform. Galilee, Judea. Or possibly, Paul's writing from prison. He possibly has a Roman soldier who's guarding him. So he's got first-hand example right outside of his cell as he's writing this letter. But the description that's being made is one of not only a spiritual battle, but of the spiritual armor that we need to put on. God's armor, his strength. What Paul is doing here as he's wrapping up this letter is telling us to put on the full armor of God. And basically, each of these pieces of armor are a reference to truths that he's been explaining throughout this entire letter. I've told you what truth and the gospel and righteousness and salvation are. I've already explained this. I've already unpacked this for you. You know what it is. Now put it on. Wear it. Use it in this fight. Each of the themes that Paul has been developing throughout this letter are now being summed up in this armor that we are called to put on so that we are strong, strengthened in the Lord. One example of how he does this, belt of truth. It's as if Paul's saying, you know what, we've been constructing this belt of truth. I've told you about the gospel, how it is the truth. I told you don't be children tossed around by the waves, by every doctrine. Rather, speak the truth in love. Grow up into him who is Christ. So we have this truth. You know this truth. You know the enemy is exactly the opposite. He's the father of lies. Put on that belt of truth. Use it. The other thing for us to keep in mind here, that was just to wake you up. The other thing for to us to keep in mind is that this is God's armor. This is God's armor. It's his power and it's his armor. What do I mean? We aren't fighting a physical battle here against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. And the enemy is described as being in the heavenly realms, the spiritual realm. You can think about, Elisha in 2 Kings 6, he prayed that the eyes of his servant would be opened so that the servant could then see the spiritual army that was defending him. And so here, we're talking about the same thing. It's God's strength. It's his armor. In Isaiah 11, we have armor being described as Christ's. Isaiah 11, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. You guys are very familiar with this passage. From its root, a branch will bear fruit. Verse 5, righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. So here you have righteousness described as Christ's belt, and faithfulness as a sash around his waist. Isaiah 59, verse 17, he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. So here's the armor that Christ is wearing. And now we are being told to put that armor on ourselves as we fight this fight. So what are we being told to do? We're commanded to be strong in the Lord. How are you strong in the Lord? By putting on the whole armor. The last question is why? Why do we need to put on this armor? And the reason is to stand against the schemes of the devil. Why do we need to put on the whole armor of God? That's our third and our final point. So that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, what I want you to notice throughout this passage is that we are standing against. We are holding our ground. This is a defensive position. This is a theme throughout our passage when it comes to the church, when it comes to believers' struggle against evil and demonic forces. It is us standing, holding our ground. Four times in our passage, standing, taking a stance, withstanding is mentioned. Verse 11, verse 13, verse 14, take your stand. When the days of evil come, you may stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. So we're holding our position against an enemy who's attacking. Instead of soldiers advancing forward in the fight or trying to overrun the enemy, the image that we are given is one of standing firm. And the reason why we need to be strengthened by Christ, the reason why we need to put on his armor, is because our struggle and our fight here isn't physical, but rather spiritual. Look at verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Here's the enemy that we face. We know that the devil is a slanderer who has nothing to do with the truth. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. He's the deceiver of the world. And that's why we're being told to be on high alert, realizing that the strategies and the schemes of the devil are based on lies and are designed to deceive believers. Sin is about believing a lie, believing that that lie is true, calling what is evil good and good evil. That's the battle plan of the enemy. Things that look good, seem right, enjoyable, beneficial, are actually the Trojan horse designed to attack and kill you. The devil is crafty. He doesn't always attack through an obvious head-on assault. He uses strategies that are cunning, designed to catch us off guard. He attacks us when we least expect it. I mean, think about moments of spiritual defeat. Moments when we give in to temptation, those typically don't happen when you're ready. When you're in God's Word and praying. They happen, at least for me, when I'm tired. When I feel like I'm doing okay. Not intentionally putting in the time and the effort to fight, to stand firm. Just like a soldier falling asleep on the job. And the image of this fight, the image of this battle is wrestling. We wrestle against flesh and blood. So this warfare isn't sitting safe in one country in a comfortable seat and flying a drone on the other side of the world and then launching a missile. This is hand-to-hand combat. This is face-to-face fighting, wrestling when it comes to this spiritual battle, this conflict. And then Paul starts describing the enemy that we are wrestling against, that we are standing firm against, against the rulers and authorities. He already mentioned at the beginning of Ephesians that these are the ones that Christ has been placed as an authority over. Ephesians 1 verse 21, 3 verse 10. And now we are the ones who are being strengthened by Christ, who is ruling and reigning, to fight against and stand firm against these rulers and authorities of the spiritual world. Against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. So rulers of darkness, evil spirits. Describing the terrifying power of their influence, their comprehensive plan, emphasizing the seriousness of the situation. Not just one power of darkness, but many, multiple. They've declared war against Christ and believers. Our battle is against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. It's a spiritual attack they're launched from the spiritual realm, the heavenly places. Now, Paul is describing these enemies, verse 12, the rulers, the authorities, the powers of darkness. And when Paul lists all of these demonic forces, it's not some kind of hierarchy, but rather a reminder of the spiritual battle that rages against us. The spiritual reality that we don't see. The seriousness of this fight. We're not talking about cartoon depictions of Satan with red horns and a tail. Actually, that's part of his battle strategy. If the enemy can get you to not take him seriously and think that he's just a cartoon to underestimate his power, then he's a step ahead. We're talking about real and active spiritual forces of evil that we're told to take our stand against. The ruler, the authority, the powers of this dark world. This shouldn't catch us by surprise when their attacks come. We should be anticipating these attacks as we stand firm with Christ's power and his armor. We're told to take our stand against his schemes. Now it doesn't take much for us to see the attack strategy of these forces of evil that are coming against us. You just have to look back over the last few chapters of Ephesians, and it gives you an example of how we are attacked. Chapter 4, be humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Basically unity. Why? Because Satan seeks to attack, divide, and destroy. Speak the truth in love. Why? Because the father of lies never stops attacking. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Why? Because that gives the devil a foothold. You're leaving the door open for his attack. Not even a hint of sexual immorality of any kind. Why? Because the internet is the battleground for this spiritual warfare. Sexual temptation, indulgence, just one click away. Wives and husbands loving and respecting each other. Why? Because the attack on marriage is strong and it's pushing for exactly the opposite of love and respect. Children, parents, bondservants, masters, the list goes on and on. So we have been training for this battle throughout the entire letter. Now, how do we get anywhere when it comes to standing firm against these attacks? How do we get anywhere when it comes to this battle against sin and self, when Satan attacks us, not only with temptations, but through our own lusts and desires and our weaknesses and our ambitions? This is overwhelming when you stop and think about it. What hope is there? The hope that we have is that we don't enter this fight on our own, by our own strength. We have been equipped. We have been empowered. Every day we are engaging in spiritual warfare, and it's serious. But it shouldn't scare us because of the one who is empowering us and equipping us, arming us for this battle, Jesus Christ. That's what we need to remember. Where does my power come from in this fight? How am I armed? Who is the one arming me for this battle? It's the Lord's strength. It's the Lord's armor. And the other thing to keep in mind is that this war has already been won. This war has been won by Christ. We just celebrated Ascension Day this past Thursday. Christ's death, his resurrection, his ascension, he is now seated and reigning. That is his power and authority and victory over these powers of the dark world and the spiritual forces of evil from the heavenly realms. And when we are in Christ, when we are united to Christ by faith, his victory, his power, his armor is ours. And that's the encouragement and the hope that we have from day to day as we find our strength and our armor in the Lord, as we take our stand against the enemy. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. We hear from your word of the seriousness of the enemy, the forces of evil in the heavenly realms, the attacking, and your call to stand firm, not in our own power, but in yours. To put on the armor that you provide for us in this fight. Being strengthened by you and armed by you and knowing that Christ has the complete victory. Lord, help us to stand firm. Strengthen us, empower us, arm us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.